And very glad you're here tonight. And this is the first hour for tonight. And this first hour, we're going to deal with gathering information from the reports, the literature, talking. And also in this hour, gathering information from the victims and the subpersonalities. The second hour tonight, please remember that between each of the hours, we will have a five-minute break. You'll hear this music in between. Five-minute break. You know, get a coffee, a tea, a restroom break, whatever else. Five-minute break between each hour. But our second hour will include Holly Hector, who I have quoted numerous times over the years in reference to the amount of victims that she had mentioned in the early 90s, 2.4 million, I think it was. So Holly's going to be on with us tonight. Holly Hector, you'll hear about her work in the ritual abuse ward and her engagement with victims and satanic ritual abuse, the mind control aspects. So that's going to be in the second hour tonight, this first hour, and we've got to launch right into it, gathering information from the reports, literature, and the talk, gathering information from the victims. We are, if you have the workbook, page 47, this is week number four, page 47. Hope that you'll have, if you don't have the workbook, piece of paper and pencil, write down some notes, keep it prayed up. Going to ask all those believers involved, keep it prayed up, please, for us as we get involved tonight. Let me ask those in the chat room, are you hearing everything okay tonight? Last night there was some trouble with Blog Talk, and we had to move over to a cell phone to finish our hours, and we finished it. So that was the good news from last night. Tonight, we're glad to be here, April 16, 2013, day after the bombings in Boston. Radical evil everywhere still, growing worldwide. But we're going to deal with the underground, the dark powers that are behind all of this, ramping up as Scripture teaches beyond anything in human history. No doubt in the future, the Antichrist, he has to have the troops to bring about the chaos, to bring about that incredible, well, Daniel, we read in the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago, this massive kingdom to come, and this incredible final order. The Nazis wanted it, the Masons want it, the New Agers seek it, the 2012ers wanted it. They think of it as a golden age, a new order, a new world order. And truthfully, if you know the backdrop to the satanic ritual abuse, the terminology steals away the original intent. The reason for so many of these victims, it's all about transmuting them, changing them, and turning them into, controlled servants and warriors that will be used. And they are in Russia, and they are in the United States, they are in Canada, Australia, England, all over. So that's going to be something that we have to continually bring out, because one by one, victims have been through, I mean, they've been through hell itself. The being chosen, being bred, demonized from conception and beyond, and past that. The rituals they've been through, the mental, emotional, all the rest, all of the programming and altering of their lives to be used. And here's the story. We're talking now millions and millions on the ground. And some of you coming into the chat room, some of you listening even by the archives, you are the victims and you know what we're talking about. Many were afraid to come out in the late 70s, 80s. They were coming out. Some are still afraid. A lot are just intact, being used. They don't even know. So that's why we got to pray for extraordinary grace, extraordinary the extraordinary work of God in all of this. Tonight, we are on page 47 in the workbook. If you have it, if not, piece of paper, pencil, Satanic Rituals, SRA, and Occult Crimes. That includes, though, the Luciferic Agenda. We are at week four. Let's begin, page 47. Now, we talked last week about finding victims. Let me just recap just quickly again about finding victims. And the big emphasis last week was the prayer issue. That's the number one, offering yourself to God and saying, here am I, and saying, Lord, help us to find victims. If you're in the United States, Canada, Australia, England, Germany, I mean, even in Russia, if you're downloading, you're going to find out as you pray and look, you're going to have victims in all of these areas, all of these cities. There's not a city yet that I haven't been to. We were in Massillon, Ohio today, and there's a, well, there's a place I'm going to call them. I'm going to ask them, I'll let you know about this next week, I'm going to ask them if they work with and have they been working with satanic ritually abused, DID, or multiple personality disorder, and see what they have to say. Everywhere we've been, every single city we've been to, yeah, the psych wards, counseling centers, places everywhere. And so it's just every state, every city, every area, townships included. There's a reason for this. Behind the issue of abuse is an orchestrated, highly orchestrated, it is more than just conspiracy theory. It is conspiracy boots on the ground. And it's part of the fulfillment of prophecy. So we'll look at the individual. We'll look at the corporate size of this massive, massive abuse. It's a huge issue. And I think that's what probably scares some away. I know that when they first gave reports concerning Auschwitz and millions of people taken to the camps and in the ovens, nobody was going to believe that at first. Human beings yielded to the wrong side have the capacity to bring millions into the slaughter, and that's part of what this is. Now, gathering information, page 47, we are at point A. Here it is, gathering information from reports, others. Now, in your city, in your area where you're living, these are some principles concerning just a gathering, like the spies in Israel. You know, they're going in and they're to gather information, come out. Now, when we come out of this, the report is, well, the victimization, the work of the enemy, okay, that's going on. But in the name of the Lord, in the grace of the Lord Jesus, and in the strength and might of God, there is an answer. There's an answer for you tonight. 5 points under gathering information. Number one, under the issue of psychology, psychologists, psychiatrists, psych wards, counseling centers, health services, social services. If you begin to interact there, and I'll tell you this, all the conferences, every single place we've been, and by the emails left and right, we have people who work in psych wards, psychologists, psychiatrists, people in the health services and social services. All of them tell me the same thing. When they hear the things we talk about, they come up to me and they say, Russ, this is exactly what we're doing. At the last couple of conferences and back in Branson, here comes people that work in psych wards. And they say, Russ, this is who we're dealing with. Even children, you know, 8, 9 years old, and all they do is drug them. And yet they have personalities that talk to some of these workers. They see the episodes, the switching that goes on. So if you're going to gather information and you're going to, you know, begin to look into all of this, look into the realm of psychology, psychiatry, counseling centers, psych wards, social services. And you're going to find out, and again, let me also mention for law enforcement, we'll come to that at point three, but prisons. Now, you're going to find victims in all these areas. We have for year after year after year, it's an assumption now on our part as we go to places. I drove past one of these places today in another city that we were in, and I told the person with me, we're going to call there, and I can guarantee you when I ask them, hey, do you work with multiple personality disorder and all that? They're going to tell us yes. They're going to tell us absolutely. So that's the first place as far as gathering information. If you're going to do it, if you're going to do the research, if you want to begin to, you know, go in and let me give you the assignment, please. And I want you to come back into this chat room or send me a letter email-wise and give me a report so we can put it on live air and put it into this course. Wherever you live, if you go to or if you know somebody who's a counselor, any of these places, and you go to these places, please interview them, ask the questions, maybe even ask them, how do you deal with it and how many years have they been here? And they're not going to give you patient information, but they're going to tell you whether or not they work with. Now, they'll look at it as DID, dissociative identity disorder, or dissociative issues. And you can say, well, does that mean you work with multiples, people who have multiple personality disorder? And then ask him, what about the satanic ritual abuse side of this? And tell them, hey, I heard at Centennial Hospital in Denver and one of the hospitals in Chicago that they actually had in their psych ward system an entire ward that was considered the ritual abuse ward. They had so many victims coming in that they had a ward just for that issue. Two, Vera got involved, and Maury Povich showed this, and many of the talk show televisions did this. Even Dr. Phil did this lately with a real SRA MPD, a real victim, and he had her switch. Other personalities came up and talked right on television. The difficulty with Dr. Phil was he kept saying over and over again, this is a very rare thing. This is a very rare disease. On that level, he has no idea. He's utterly missing the fact of Holly Hector's information and Colin Ross's information and the actual figures. And we're talking, you know, through the 80s, they were simply having hundreds of thousands showing up and then millions. And that's the issue. When you go to the news media, when you read the news magazines, Psychology Today, things like that, Journal of Psychology, if you go to any of the films that have been out or to see on television, The Pretender, Dollhouse, some of the other ones that will begin, or Conspiracy Theory, or The Manchurian Candidate. By the way, I would say, for the sake of research, watch Conspiracy Theory, because everybody that works in this field tells me, and I agree, that some of the stuff there was clearly real on the governmental side as far as mind control, the submerging of me making a sad. And then the mandate, I think it was Denzel was in. The Manchurian Candidate really showed the screen memory issue, the programming issues, the the burying of memory and so forth, and then setting up an assassin. So that's, you know, important, you know, also to take a look at. So it's like some of this stuff has leaked out. Roseanne and Barr have come out, and of course she's talking about helping. She's not healed herself. She's clearly acknowledging her multiplicity. Sandy Patty, the Christian singer, has, you know, also mentioned hers. And this is some that just that don't know enough about SRA, MPD, kind of just think it's a mental issue. And we've said all along, it's not a mental issue. It's not a somebody's gone crazy, somebody's mentally defective. It is a caused, trauma-based factor that has been caused by people who are expert in how they do this, their knowledge of how to do this. It's really a technology. And the programming and the in embedding this in the altering of the human construct, that's just part of this whole thing. You're not going to get all of that, but just you know, take a look at the news media, the films. You're going to see aspects of MPD and SRA all across the board. In the music industry, you'll begin to see some of this. And one wonders about some of the popular singers who declare, like Katy Perry, that she wants to have sex with the entities. She wants to become basically a hybrid. That's pretty interesting to me. So, listen, if you're coming in right now, I see more and more folks coming into the chat room. That's great. We welcome you tonight. This is week number 4, the Satanic Occult Crimes course. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. Now, on that website, you can go right to the links for the archives. If you want to go over them again, we put them up the next day, tomorrow. But all 3 hours tonight will be archived and put up for you next tomorrow also. The workbook, page 47, we're at point 3. Law enforcement, that's the third place. So if you're going to gather information about satanic ritual abuse, the underground, about multiplicity, about victims, then let me mention that, thirdly, law enforcement. And especially if you know, and see, there's law enforcement individuals I know, and a number of retired that are involving. I mean, they're helping us out. They know about things. They're giving us information. They've worked. Some that have worked and written. For example, the author of the book, Secret Weapons. Now, that's one of the books I assigned in the beginning. Secret Weapons. Now, that book alone, I think, is a must read because Dr. Dale Griffiths has put in there his involvement with Lynn and Cheryl Hersha, the cult side, the military side, his research, a lot of the Freedom of Information Act info is in there. And to this day, though retired and very, you know, he's older now, still knowledgeable. And we converse with him, and many others converse with him about some of the subjects nationwide. So law enforcement, we find in conferences all over again. They come to me and say, Russ, we arrested an individual. Look at the stories behind the Colorado shooter, Holmes or Jared. Listen to the backdrop of discussions where after they did all they did, they didn't remember. They wondered why they were being arrested. When programmed subpersonalities are the assassins, when they do the stuff, they go down afterwards. The main person comes up. They lose memory. So that's one of the indicators of programmed assassins and or the multiplicity that is very observable on the one hand to those who worked in the field. But I wonder whether they're ever going to bring anything out. Because others, I mean, on the news media, they just kind of just said, well, they went nuts. No, they didn't. You don't go nuts and wacko. I mean, if you go nuts and wacko, you roll around on the ground and what? I mean, this is precision in the way they did things. You know that. And the way they did this radical evil, and there's agenda behind it. So, but that's one thing. Across the board, all around here, all the way through the, you know, the 80s and 90s, law enforcement, and especially in the late 80s and early 90s, I mean, listen, Tom Wedge was out there and others and Dale Griffiths and many others and local guys that we knew here locally, they were out training in police academies everywhere. And I wasn't law enforcement, but I got recruited into a local department with the goal of taking me into the actual police academy training courses so that I would teach what I know and answer questions for law enforcement cadets and others. So law enforcement was learning this all across the board. And specialty books and materials were being put out there. And if you also, another book that we recommend in the homework is Programmed to Kill by Thomas McGowan. Now in there, he discusses what nobody did in the past. It's very important to take a look at that. He goes over the Matamoros case where Sandra, the woman involved as the high priestess, she was multiple. You'll read about John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer, multiples, which also means in most cases, satanic ritual abuse, dark powers. Again, I'll say it again, Dahmer. I even watched a documentary lately on Dahmer. It excluded what we saw in law enforcement pictures, crime scene pictures, the power cones made out of human skulls, the satanic altar made out of human thigh bones, Dahmer's apartment. Now, see, that's what law enforcement are trained. I sat in Worthington and other places in training where I listened to law enforcement agents tell law enforcement cadets and police and others, don't acknowledge it. Right. Just deal with the crime. And don't scare the public. But there's officers that are like, they see this stuff, and some of the officers told me face-to-face, it scares them. Some asked me, what do you do spiritually to protect you? That's when I would get the answer about Christ and his authority and his power in the midst of it all. A lot of officers, when they would see switching in cases where we called officers in or when officers were called in, when it dealt with crime issues and so forth, where you know, I tell the big story of the multiple that was on the floor, and he was leg chained and arm chained. I wrote about him in the book, The Black Awakening, and I watched as 5-6 officers watched all of this, and they were stunned. They personality changes. The German personality came out, and all this. They finally couldn't. I mean, they just saw what they saw, and eventually just picked him up, put him in the car, took him to the psych ward, dropped him off. And yet we know and have been involved with talking to the feds and talking to others that this is the individual and the sub part of him that took two girls, a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, through horrific satanic rituals. So it's important that we recognize that law enforcement, not all officers are trained. And those that are, again, the focus is reactive and going to be involving dealing with what they know concerning the crimes. When it comes to the switching and the personality stuff and even demonization, it's just a matter of saying, hey, this is out of our field. You know, send it off to the psych wards or whatever else. If you could become friends with good officers, and I know officers that are believers in Christ. I know retired officers out there in St. Louis and other places. That's what they want to work. They want to do stuff. They want to pray. They're involved up in New York and other places. So I'm grateful across the nation there are officers that know Christ, that they see this. They want to help. They include prayer. But if you can make friends in your area, and I'm talking about your area, if you're praying to find it, if you're praying to break into it, then number one on our notes, psychology departments, psych wards, counseling centers, health services. Number two, you can look at the media, the mass media, the films and so forth, and look and research with discerning eyes. But you can take a look at number three, law enforcement. Number four, you can sit back sometime if you want to research this and just open your phone book and start calling pastors. And just call them and say, hey, I'm doing research for a training course that I'm into right now. And I'd like to ask you if you know of anything about satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality disorder. Do you have any victims there? Does your church deal with them? Does your church do deliverance? You know, if you spend a little research time, let alone maybe becoming friends with some, you know, and learning to connect with some others out there, you might hear pastors say, yeah, here's what I've heard over the years. Yeah, we've had this, and we didn't know what to do with it, and we sent them off to the psych ward, or we, you know, all those kind of things. Most churches that I engage don't, though they've had the problem, though they've had a victim show up, they either turn it over to the, like in one big church here, they turn it over to the to their people in their congregation that are psychologists. They turn them over, And I agree with retired in here. Use some moxie. Use some wisdom. In all of this, use some wisdom. Greed. Thank you. But talking to pastors, ask the questions, see what they have to say, find out if there's deliverance work. Anywhere there's deliverance going on in the church, the body of Christ in your city, here's what I think you'll find. If you find any local church that is doing, you know, they're getting people saved, they're praying for the healing, they're actually doing deliverance work, I can almost assure you that they're finding and engaging multiples. And if they are, then they're going to have to learn, and maybe they have, so that they're going to have to engage the personality side, the programming side, and all the ramifications when we get into dealing with somebody. So make a call. You know, take a look at the own, you know, if you're going to a local church somewhere, ask, you know, maybe you're going to be the one to start something in your local church with two or three others and start some, you know, ministry. See, churches have ministry for a lot of other things, and you might be able to find something that some fellowship that you'll be allowed to begin something and do some ministry. So that'll be important. Number five. I talked with somebody today that's been in the field for 30-some, you know, for a long time doing ministry with multiples. And I mentioned, because I looked over to my left here, and I look over, and there's probably, in the backdrop of all of this, a couple thousand volumes. And maybe 1,000 that involve all of this. Because, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't know anything. We're learning. We're learning the hard way. We're learning along, and we're reading, and we are studying and going to every conference. And what you're doing right now, you're here taking a 3-hour training course on Tuesday nights. And I know already God will challenge you, and that many of you are here because God's going to call you into, if you're not already, going to call you into helping. And it can be hard. It can be a lot of spiritual warfare. It's going to be a lot of things like that. But you're going to find God's hand and God's power and see the Lord heal and deliver and help. So that's very important when you're stepping out to know this. So I'm going to say again, books and some of the literature. And you notice what I've written in the beginning of the book. I mentioned primary volumes that you should start with, okay? And I'm saying that if you want to, the Tom Wedge book, The Satan Hunter. Basic stuff about satanic ritual crime and candles and symbols and the difference between traditional, non-traditional, the popular, the difference between Santeria and Wiccans and pagans. And he's even got a chapter on Dungeons and Dragons and all the rest. So that just will give you some help. And again, no book that I mention is going to be perfect. And there may be things you don't agree with at all, but there's things there to research to see what a law enforcement agent was saying. I recommend highly Del Griffiths' book, Secret Weapons, and I think that's important. Thomas McGowan's book, Programmed to Kill. Another book is Uncovering the Mystery of MPD by Jim Friesen, done years ago. So I'm encouraging you to get a hold of that. So you'll already see that if you were here the first 2 weeks, we recommended particular ones. That's part of your homework, and hopefully you'll read those books and you'll be reading them and throwing in questions, and we'll be able to converse. I made it mandatory for two of those books when I taught locally in the courses. Someone throws the question up, what about the Black Awakening? Yeah, they're listed. The ones I just mentioned are listed there. Now, I've got over 100, I think over 200 quotes from 220 other books. Not all of them do you need or, you know, are going to help you in this field alone. That was for the broad look. But the ones I'm particularly focused on here, for the beginning anyway. Now, 5 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now, more materials. We will continue to try to find the best to recommend. Okay, but as I've said in the beginning, spiritually, under the lordship of Christ, becoming powerful in prayer, being a witness, learning about prayer for healing and deliverance and spiritual gifts, and then just doing it. You won't be able to start off, some amazing superstar. That's not even the issue. You got to start somewhere. Question comes in from Amy. What about exposing and confronting Satan? The book Satan and Associates by Wendell Amstead. Yeah, I would say that too. That's where I found the quote by Holly Hector, and called her way back in the 90s and talked to her, and then called her a few weeks ago. And again, in about a half hour, in the second hour of training tonight, Holly Hector will be online with us. And we'll be talking. She's out west, and you'll hear some incredible stories and some encouraging things. Wendell Amstead's book, for those listening, Wendell, Wendell, then Amstead's is Amstutz, Wendell Amstead's, and I believe I have him quoted in the back of The Black Awakening also. And of course, I'm going to encourage you to get a hold of The Black Awakening, because I still think among everything out there, it's unique in what we put out as a message. I wasn't a book writer. I'm a message writer. So it's written in that format, and it's used kind of like a training manual to give the broad picture, then the specifics. So someone says they got the sixth edition. I don't have any sixth edition out. We are going to correct some of the editing errors that were there. It's going to be put into German and Russian. There'll be a hardback and a large print. That's probably a month away or whatever else. But nope, just the one since the beginning is out there, and that's the one we're using. That's the one anyway. Oh, Wendell's. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Glad to have. See, this is Classroom right in the chat room. And many, many more of you listening by just radio. So the books are going to be vital. So those are five primary things that I'm saying when it comes to, you know, engaging. Number one, psychology, the health services, counseling. Number two, news, media, hearing about things, reading magazines, films, stuff like that. Three, law enforcement. Four, pastors, churches, where deliverance is going on specifically. And number five, books and authors and so forth. Now, as I mentioned last week, if you are praying and you want to find and you want to engage, and if you're even going broader and you're saying, hey, I want to build a prayer team, we want to pray against satanic rituals, we want to break in to find the victims earlier on, praise God. That's exactly what I'm praying for along the way, that we're going to see some brave heroes and rise up to become that powerful. So you can begin to pray, not only as you're developing, but to get a team, two or three, and in your area. If you're in the United States or Canada, Australia, or England, I'm guaranteeing you're going to engage this way. Now, we're at halfway into the first hour, and I've got so much to tell you in this 1 hour. I'm going to go page 47 in your workbook, point B, gathering information from the victims. Gathering information. Now, here's where you come into the fact of if you do now engage victims, if you, you know, whether at your church, you meet somebody, I could tell you right now where people have said, you know, on the streets, in college, where they work, people have called me and said, Russ, I've got somebody where I work that's a multiple. They switch personalities and sometimes they scare me. All that kind of stuff goes on. Well, as you're praying and eventually as you engage and as you're doing, you know, the research and with the goal of helping, here's 5 points in gathering information from victims, okay? Victims alone. Number one, you're going to find fear being a major factor. They're going to be afraid to talk. They're going to be afraid to tell you anything. If they're unhealed, and the more unhealed they are, they don't know who you are. Let me tell you a story. When I, you know, this goes back 25 years or more. I get called in by another pastor and a counselor, and there's a girl there, and multiple. And this is when we were just, you know, the first 5 years of engaging. So I walk in, and she won't look at me. They told me to walk in quietly, and she doesn't know you. And what she wanted to do is you put out your hand. She takes a hold of your hand and looks at your palm, the top of your hand. She looks at your shoes. She did that to everybody. It was kind of funny down the road when new people came in to meet her. You know why she did that? Being a victim of satanic ritual abuse, the multiplicity, all the rest, going through all of the rituals and all the abuses sexually and everything else, she tells how they were always dressed in robes and most of the time had masks on. So how she knew whether it was them, the perpetrators, over the years, she began to memorize their hands, the markings, the lines, the shoes they wore, so that no game would be played on her, that when people would come to say, hey, start talking, tell us about what's going on, we want to help you. She didn't want to be tricked into one of the people from the coven or group coming in and doing that. So she, as a survivor, most every multiple I met, they're hyper-vigilant. They really know how to engage. And they're very survivalistic, looking always to protect themselves, everything else. So you're going to find them doing things like this. They want to know who you are. And so I always tell victims when I meet them the first time, ask any questions. Look, listen, I mean, you know, anything you want to ask from me, you know, tell them. Tell them who you are and let them ask questions. Let them look at you. Now, I'll tell you later on, if you're meeting, you need to be prayed up and inwardly being praying, okay? There's other factors involved here. But one of the factors, number one in gathering information from SRA victims, is the fear factor and the barriers of fear, especially the more unhealed and more undelivered they are. They have programming to keep secrets. They have been through punishment stuff. They've seen punishment. They've been tortured. They've been told what will be done to them. The demons will harm them. So you got to realize the fear factor is a big issue, and they got to know who you are for anything to come out. Number two, in getting information from victims, the shame and guilt issue. I mean, they're going to tell you stories about sex with animals, all kinds of gruesome things, what men and others have done to them, women, what they were made to do. The shame and the guilt involve, they'll tell stories. They made me take a knife, an athame, and put it in the baby's stomach. Or they made me eat human flesh. Now, I'm going to be very straightforward. Remember, this is an occult crimes, satanic ritual abuse, you know, crimes type of course. So victims are going to have within them, this is point number two, shame and guilt. And those are going to go together. They're going to feel ashamed even though they were made to do things. Or they know that other parts of them, personality-wise, were made to do things. If you got a real victim that it began from childhood up and they're now in their 20s or 30s or 40s or, and you have inside little personalities or other sub-personalities, people call them parts or alters, they do. They will cry. They will. You will see the expressions of shame. They will express enormous guilt. That's been put on them by the cult, by the coven, by the people, by the perpetrators, by the dark side itself. And they do feel bad. I mean, I had a grown man. I'm telling about a grown man. Program sub personalities where he was made to have sex with other men and with animals. But in his main self, his core personality, he deplored that. He hated that. He cried and he had great shame and great guilt because of all of that. So you're going to find that as part of the factor. So you're not going to be able to just walk up to, and law enforcement can't just walk up to a SRA MPD, say, tell me the facts. Number one, they got enormous fear. They don't know who you are. Number two, they got shame and they got guilt. I mean, even if they were small and somebody took their big hands over top of their little hands and a knife and killed somebody, that's imposition. I mean, that's they were forced to do that. They wouldn't be held accountable. So that's an incredible thing. And you're going to have to deal with them. That's where, again, ministry comes in and Jesus' healing and help and understanding. Number three, punishment. Punishment. Now, that's going to be an incredible picture when we deal with this punishment issue. You've got inside all SRA, MPD, you got inside there punishers. Now, you got protectors. You're going to meet a protector, usually a male personality, that's going to be in your face. They're there to protect. They may not want information out because they're afraid if they allow anyone inside to talk, they'll all get punished. The protector, they'll get punished. They'll get harmed. They'll get hurt badly. Okay? So this is very important that we understand punishment they fear. And this is where safety factors. Are you going to be able to keep them safe? Will they be triggered by a phone call or by something else to be drawn back to the perpetrators? Will the perpetrators work? So now here's another factor. Inside multiples, SRA victims, before healing and deliverance is occurring, they also have personalities in there. Now here's what happened. There's four guys in a room. One is the SRA, the MPD, sitting there. We believe he's the one that killed and slaughtered the two girls. A little sub-personality begins to come up and tell us about it. And tell us with fear and trembling and shame and guilt and worries about punishment. They're saying to me, Pastor Russ, we can't really tell you. And they're starting to tell. They're starting to go. They're starting to share. And guess what happens? We watch face-to-face as his right arm, as if somebody else did this, reaches up and punches himself in the face. You'll have that happen. You'll have one personality. We had another time where they went into another room and one personality spoke and yelled at the other personality for telling. Some personality are mad and angry because the other person's telling, and they're all going to get in trouble. So that's the issue here when we deal with finding out information for victims. So, you know, this, you find out more, the more delivered, the more healed, the more help they get, the more, you know, you're going to find out, you know, information. Information that's going to help you to protect them and keep them places and so forth. So it's very important that, you know, you work with them in that way, because you're going to find that protectors, guardians, and inside, and the concern of punishment. Number four, you're going to have the issue of memory. You know, you might be dealing with an upfront presenting personality or some personality. Memory inside a multiple is portioned off. One little personality has memory. A priestess has memory. The runner has memory. The assassin has memory. All the personalities have their own memory. Some of that, now see, they're not supposed to know inside. So it's like a compartment. You know, where each personality who's experienced whatever they did, they have that memory. So the main person, this is part of the technology behind this, that's like in hypnosis. You hypnotize somebody, get them out of the way, get them to do funny things, bring them back out of it. Don't ever let that happen to you, but you see it on stage, and then they don't remember what occurred. They don't remember what they were made to do. But that's exactly what occurs in multiples. DID, if you want to call that, chosen ones. They are clearly one personality can come up and tell you a ton of things that none of the others know about. Here's what we found out, and this again, why I spelled this out in the book, The Black Awakening. Sub-personalities, there could be dozens and dozens. You could have some that speak German or Russian or Spanish or whatever else. And you can, inside is a world of other persons, or call it, if you want to call them alters or parts, that's up to you. But you're going to find when the German-speaking personality comes up that knows things, the protector that comes up and knows things, the priestess that comes up and knows twilight languages, all of those things. So that's, you've got to understand how memory is going to work. So if you ask the upfront person what happened to your childhood, they got blocked out. It's all blocked out. Where were you over the weekend? Well, I lost time. I don't know where I was for 3 days. Other personalities do. Here's the fact. All the information is in there, but it's like a compartments. And this personality knows this. That personality knows this. The other one knows this over here. The other one knows this. So in the process of helping, healing, deliverance, you're going to find more and more information as more and more alters come up and tell you things. And we're going to give you some of the pitfalls here in a moment, because you got pitfalls too to deal with. The next thing is this. Number 5 on page 47, the bottom. Gathering information for victims. It can be very painful. When they start telling you stories about what was done to little kids, what was done to them, when they show you scars or sometimes go into ab reaction or have body memories, whereas they begin to remember, the old stuff comes up. And it's amazing to me how the memories of the past, when they come up, we watched a federal officer's wife switch to another personality that went into an ab reaction as if she was being used in a ritual with an animal. We had to help stop this because it wasn't happening. It was an ab reaction, a kind of a forced going back into the actual memory and acting it out. When they tell you this, there's times very painful stuff they've been through, very painful things. And so be ready to show compassion, be ready to love them, be ready to help them. Realize as a human being that the dark side has sought to alter them and change them. It's an atrocity in the sight of God. It is an atrocity to do to any human being. Their whole lives have been taken away from them. The only thing I know is that God knows how to give the second half of a life, like in Job's case, better than the first. better than the first. So when those are five aspects you're going to have. Now, if you'll turn the page, page 49, if you'll go there, I think we're going to, 49, that page, on that, gathering information from subpersonalities, and we're going to deal with pitfalls. Now, you got to listen really careful here. When you are engaging, you know, victims, and you're dealing with victims, and you're going through everything with them, and when that is, and you got personalities talking, and personalities that trust you, and here's what happens. They bring you items. They'll take you to locations. If you really interact with them, you're going to find that they want to take you places, show you things, give you information, bring boxes to you, show you the hidden things, all kinds of things, take you to where rituals are done, grave sites. All this is going to happen in the process. But on page 49, top of the page, gathering information from those altars, the subpersons, the parts, as some call them. Okay? Here's what happens. 5 points here. Number one, identify the personality. Is it a little one? Is it a guardian? Is it a protector? Is it a priestess? Is it a assassin? Is it someone who's a runner? You know, find out what their job was. And of course, if you've done deliverance and they've come to Christ and so forth, we're assuming that's part of the process. But this is, identifying, I've talked to hundreds of subpersons, alters. I've had them take me to other states, locations, places where we dug up bones, ritual sites, bring boxes of stuff, bring ritual items, tons of stuff, charged objects. I mean, when you can begin to help them and they have a safety factor and they can trust you and deliverance and healing and help is going on, well, identify them and they have names. And if, when I'm talking to sometimes some that aren't fully healed or whatever, and I'll say, well, let me talk to Susie. Let me talk to, Mehitabel. Let me talk, and a switch. I mean, instantly that occurs. I've met a Psy warrior out of Fort Bragg multiple at borders numerous times when they'd come in from another state. We'd sit there and I'd say, well, let me talk to such and such person. And they would switch. And there we would discuss and talk, or they would be gone and bring me stuff. So identifying them and knowing them on a human level, okay? I mean, again, be spiritually attentive because of the warfare issues that still can be, going on. But know the personalities. And number two, parts that come forward may be demonized and programmed. That's part of the issue of gathering information. If their programming is there, they are never, they're just simply programmed not to tell you anything. And that's important for you to know. If there's demonization there, you're going to have to deal with it. And you're going to have to command anything demonic that's stopping or blocking them. They may, and multiples will see things because they've been opened up to it so long, they'll see things quicker than you will. And so always be ready. Like in this course for the first hour, let me just put up a prayer because I see the need. In the name of Jesus, we command all demonic presence, demonic work, to be bound in every person. In the name of Jesus, we command every demonic presence and any victims, anything else, anything being sent, be bound. We ask the Lord Jesus to destroy the work of the enemy right now. And we just acknowledge the authority of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, in the chat room, in the listenership, in the archives, and over every single person right now, praying the power of God and extraordinary healing and miracles come from the Lord Jesus to individuals. We rebuke and command all demons to be shut down and to shut up in the name of Jesus. We ask the Lord to literally bring an attack on them and destroy their work. We pray God's mercy and Holy Spirit grace to fall upon parts and altars and personalities right now. So you got to understand, this is the kind of clash you're in, and we're going to need this kind of prayer all the way through. We didn't know this 28 years ago, and we had times as we are getting information, other sub-personalities that are demonized, they're doing rituals or releasing demons in warfare against us, and we're getting headaches, and we're getting fatigued, and we're getting problems going on. And so we told you that. So you got to be wise as a serpent, meek as a dove. You got to be alert. Remember in spiritual warfare, alert, and be ready. So you're going to have parts that come forward that are demonized and or programmed, and you're going to have to deal with that in the context of information. Number three, you will engage cult loyal or coven loyal or antichrist loyal or Satan loyal personalities. Personalities that all they're trained to do is rituals. They know the ancient languages. They know how to summon demons. They are arrogant, in their programming, and then they're, so you're going to have to deal with that. And you're going to meet, priestesses and others inside that know how to cut human skin, and they revel. They've been trained in and demonized and programmed and practiced and experienced in blood, sacrifice and all the rest. So you're going to have to engage that. And again, that usually is when a power encounter occurs. You're going to have to pray, the Lord Jesus to engage them and command all demons. And many times priestesses and cult loyal personalities or coven loyal, once they see the authority and power of Jesus, once they see that, then they are astounded because they've never seen this. You got to understand subparts, subpersonalities that are to be buried, never in public, that kind of stuff, never to be around, the real presence of the real Christ and his authority and power. So they're not going to have that. And so you're going to engage, cult loyal parts. Then when we find that they, are delivered from demonic and God breaks the programming and they are turning to Jesus and they didn't want to tell things. So that's a vital aspect of the ministry. Number four, in information from sub-personalities, items. Just put down the word items. They're going to bring you things. Be careful because you're going to find charged objects, demonized objects. In this context, I never eat food or drink when the main person wouldn't do anything, but sub-persons can put stuff in your drink, bring you a charged, demonized object. They're going to bring things that you're going to have to either pray over and then burn and get rid of. Very important. Number five, the sub-persons will take you places. They will take you places to show you things. Now, we're going to go over pitfalls, about 8 or 9 pitfalls that you got to hear this, okay? You've got to hear the pitfalls. Vital information here. Because point 5 on page 49 is they're going to take you places. Ritual sites, doctors, peoples, where rituals were done, where things were done. This has happened. We've been all over the place and have been taken by sub-personalities to the locations, to the places. And you're going to have to be prayed up. You're going to have backing at times. You're going to have others around. You're going to have to be listening to the Lord. Because here are the pitfalls. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. We're going to go through these pitfalls. You need to know these in advance. Under A, pitfalls, discernment, and wisdom. A, always remember that the goal is the healing and the help and the deliverance of the person no matter what goes on. Okay? Because there's going to be times when sub-personalities do things against you, when they're going to be, they're going to make you mad, or they're going to try to harm you, or, there's things that will happen that maybe the coven or handlers made a sub-personality come after you or a demonized personality to do things. So remember that that's a battle along the way. You're dealing with unbelievable, complexity in some sense, but human beings that have been by the satanic side altered. And you're here to help them. So always remember, under pitfalls, discernment, and wisdom, A, always remember that bottom line, the goal is the help, the healing, and so forth, not just the information. B, while listening to one person telling you, be aware what other personalities are doing. Other personalities are listening. In case other personalities are doing ritual stuff or trying to send demons. Inwardly, you're going to be praying up, prayed up, know the shield that God will put around you. So that's B. While listening to them, be aware that other personalities are listening, taking down your information. They might be doing ritual, you know, warfare against you. That may happen. And the less healed, the less delivered, the more that happens. Under C, the issue of trouble. If you get them to say too much and you really push them and they tell you a lot of things, they may have a sub-personality that will tell the coven that other personalities told you, and they're going to get badly punished, beaten, and hurt, and used, and reprogrammed, and everything else. Under D, don't realize that you're going to get a lot of old information, too. If you're dealing with somebody that's 40, they might be telling you something that happened when they were 5, or 8, or 13. They may take you to locations that it were 20 years ago, and the perpetrators no longer use them. So remember that you're going to get past information and old information. But the reason why we went to all the places, went everywhere, we wanted to verify the facts. And that helped victims to know. And otherwise, they would have never gone back to find anything. Under E, watch out for disinformation. Disinformation you can be aware of is when they're constantly giving you stuff that doesn't line up, where you never able to nail down. They always got an excuse. When they're telling you and leading you far away from the real things that need to be dealt with and running you around in circles and never seeing any verification. Watch out for disinformation, programmed disinformation personalities. F, watch out for being set up. Sub-personalities inside that have listened may bring up information. Yeah, let's go to some place out of these woods over here at this cemetery. Meet me over here. And you go, and there's other people waiting. The sub-personality deep down underneath in control have told the coven, and so you got to watch out for that. G, the dangers of snooping. When you're out on the field and you've got information and you're going to look for things and you're going to, you know, if you go looking, please understand, if you don't use some good wisdom and really seek the Lord in all of it, they may come looking for you. They may be observing you. The one federal officer's wife had a personality with disinformation leading us right to the Guatemalans and others out of the Circle of Dominion in Cleveland, where they were looking at us. They took pictures of us. They spied on us. They showed up at our house because the subparts inside her gave that information away, and it was a danger. And then H, what do you do with the information? What are you going to do with it? That's vital to think through. Praying over it, how are you going to handle it? And so now you're hearing, now this is basic. We'll give more on this subject along the way, but I'm giving you the basic things to think through now. In the last 2 minutes of this first hour, let me say this. You need discernment and prayer constantly. Let me give you Daniel chapter 2. You need discernment and prayer and seeking the Lord and Holy Spirit discernment and the charismatic gift of discernment. And it's best to work in teams so that two are better than one and they have discernment. The next little note there is watch what you say. Everything you say in front of an unhealed victim of SRA and PD, other personalities inside that are to scoop information, they'll either get on the phone an hour later or later that night, or they'll get in contact with the handlers of a coven. They'll tell everything on you. If you're telling, we're going to pick you up when, you know, this night, we're going to help you this night, we're going to have an appointment this day, we're going to do this, we're going to come over and watch your house so nobody comes over and bothers you. Well, sub-personalities inside them may tell the coven, and they'll play and run circles around. So you got to be very careful and watch what you say and let the victim know. You can't tell them everything, but, you know, keep committed to the goal of healing, the goal of protection and so forth. Learning the hard way, you're going to learn that sometimes. It's just going to happen. There's things you're going to learn the hard way. And the more you keep learning and keep asking the Lord, there's also, and what you're doing right now is smart because you're getting what we never got, 28 years ago. I wish I had this 28 years ago. And we're always, even today, seeking more and more and more information. So that's and more insight and more help and everything else. So that's vital to know along the way. Let me tell you this. Hold on to your questions. We're not ready for those yet. I'm going to tell you that we're going to take a five-minute break. We're going to be back on live air. We're going to stay here. So be ready. Holly Hector's coming up. If Holly's on the line or she's listening, we're going to be there in about 3 or 4 minutes. We'll be having her come on. And we'll have someone that, and you'll be able to throw up some questions in the chat room, classroom, and that'll be the next hour. Give us 4 minute break. We'll be right back.